Hello and welcome to the newest Killer Frogs on SI podcast, Splash Pad, a podcast all about the TCU women's basketball team. I'm your host, Tori Couch, and I'm joined by the voice of Killer Frogs, JD Andrus. How are you doing today, JD?
I'm excited to be here. Adding another podcast under my belt, part of the website, and I'm excited for this one. Women's basketball has generated a lot of hype and for good reason, so I'm very excited to kick this one off.
Me too. Yeah. No, this team has a ton of momentum behind them. And so today we're going to talk about that upcoming season for the Horned Frogs, kind of taking a look at the roster, Big 12 preseason awards, and some of the marquee non-conference games. This podcast will come out roughly every 2 weeks during the non-con, so we can't touch on everything, but we'll do our best to kind of just stay on top of all things women's basketball. So for them, the season does officially start on November 5 at home against Houston Christian. But before we get into all the games and things like that, just kind of your initial thoughts, JD, on this team, second year under head coach Mark Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, you have the major contributors coming back from last season, which was Madison Connor and Sedona Prince. And then you've added so much more talent and depth that it's absurd. Like you have Haley Van Lith, who everyone knows. You have Maddie Scherr. You still have Una from last year's team. And the most important part of it is you're not asking Sedona Prince to be a world beater at the center position because you have people that can, give her time to rest and keep her healthy for later in the season. But I think my biggest question and is my initial thought with the team is the depth is so much and there's so many talented guards. What is Mark Campbell's plan going to be? I mean, you can't keep, you can't rotate people too in and out to keep them fresh because a lot of these players like to get hot at times. I mean, Madison Connor broke TC's record for most threes in a season. Haley Van Lith is a guard, Maddie Scherr. There's just so much talent that I'm so interested to see what Mark Campbell cooks up with.
Yeah, I agree. I think my initial thoughts kind of the same is how is he going to use all this talent, particularly at the guard position? Because, like you alluded to, there's just so much depth, and that was something that the team lacked last year. And when all those injuries hit, it really showed. And so, kind of from that big picture standpoint, I think that's good in case. I mean, we never want to see injuries, but if someone were to go down with an injury, you're not taking a huge step back or a huge step down, which I think is going to be really important. If Campbell wants to build the program the way that I think he's going to. But yeah, I'm with you. What's he going to do with those with all those guards? That was something that was asked of him at Basketball Media Days in mid-October, and he talked about that. Yeah, he will play with four guards, and so that they can play with tempo, kind of that faster pace, and that the depth provides some fresh legs so they can sub people in. But yeah, I think there's going to be a little bit of that kind of managing expectations because you have Una, who was so good last year when people are out. Agnes Campbell continually calls her the backbone of the team. Like she's one of the leaders of this team. And so, kind of giving them their playing time along with all these new players who, like Haley Van Lith, is going to play a lot of minutes. But they're going to earn that playing time in practice, obviously. But I'm curious to watch how that works as well. So we've kind of alluded to it. So let's kind of break down this team as far as the roster goes. There's 14 players, there's nine guards, and then five centers forwards. So this is an older team. It's going to be one of the older teams in the conference. So you've got that maturity and just experience, and that's going to be really helpful as they, obviously, in the non-conference itself, but as you get into conference and you're in those tight games and things like that, that's going to be really important. I think the growth from last year is going to help this team fight through some of that adversity. And one thing that I thought was interesting during media days, Campbell and Haley Van Lith both seemed really happy with the team chemistry and just kind of where this team was at with all the transfers that came in. There were six total, so I think that's really a good sign that they're feeling good about things. When it comes to the guards, Campbell said that the guard play is as good as anybody in college basketball. So I think he has a lot of faith in the guards. So kind of JD, talk a little about the guards and kind of what you're seeing there at that position.
Yeah. So I guess my biggest question would be, obviously you don't know who's going to be the starting five whenever the season comes out, But when you're looking at your point guard, you got two major options of Donovan Hunter and Matty Sher. Donovan Hunter was fantastic for Oregon State last season. And I'm very excited because we talked about the age and the maturity of this team. And her being a sophomore and doing what she did last year as a freshman and playing with the people that are going to be able to surround her on the team, she's going to be able to learn so much that next year, when a bunch of these players move on and graduate, she will kind of become the backbone of the team as long as she's still in the program a year from now. But like I talked about Madison Connor, there's not a single person on this entire guard group that doesn't shoot the three ball at above 30% clip. Like they can all make a three at any point, anytime. And I think that's what's really exciting about it, is because when you have a dominant center like Sedona Prince who can grab boards for you, it allows you to throw up a lot more shots and hope for more success because you might get the ball back and you're gonna get it back, a lot quicker. Madison Connor was great. Haley Van Lith, I am excited to see what he exactly plans for Haley Van Lith, because we saw her run the one for LSU last year. And there's a chance she could run it again this year. But I think she's gonna fit better in at a guard and allow her to have a lot more playmaking abilities on this team, because there's a lot of the other guards are complimentive of her, versus at LSU where she had a playmaking center like Angel Reese and everything like that. Like there's just a lot more talent in the guard position that no team is going to be able to key in on her.
No, I agree. And I think that was one thing that Haley Van Lith talked about at Media Days, that the part of why she picked TCU was she feels like this program and the way Campbell runs his offense with that a lot of pick and roll is going to help her grow and become a better player. And so I think you're right. She can play the point guard, but she was a finalist for the Drysdale Award at Louisville her last season there, which is for the award for the nation's top shooting guard. So I think that's probably her more natural position. It's kind of that shooting guard role. So, coming here, I think, allows her to fit into that role a little bit. So I'm with you. I'm curious to see how she'll fit in. I think she'll fit in really well, though. There, like you said, there's just so much talent, and the fact that they can shoot from three, it gives you so many options off of that pick and roll that Campbell likes to run. That's what his offense centers around. And even Sedona and Aaliyah and the transfers at the center and forward position can shoot the three. So it opens things up. And once you can shoot that three, you get the easy buckets and the and ones and things like that. And from what I can tell, none of these guards are scared to drive in. None of these guards are scared to, get some contact and go for the and one and things like that. So I think this guard group is going to be really, really good. Like you said, it potentially is one of the best in the country. I'm just curious, to see how this is all going to play out with minutes and kind of managing that.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing too with the guard group is also just the experience that is there playing against other elite talent that TCU hasn't really had. TCU has been a struggling women's basketball program for almost their entire existence. And it's kind of something that now you're getting players in who have played at the top of the game. They know what it's like to get there. That I think it adds, when you add Haley Van Lith, Taylor Bigby from USC, who's also played elite talent, like these players and the schedule that they have are going to be so set up for a deep run come March that I think that that is what, as long as you can keep them healthy by rotating them out because of the depth, like this team could make a serious run come March.
Yeah, and that was something that too that Campbell talked about at Media Days was, you've got two Final Four teams on your non-conference schedule. And, he said that sets you up for March, because if you want to be the best, you have to compete with and beat the best. Kind of to your point, a lot of these guards have experience. They know how to compete at the highest level, how to work through those tense moments at the end of the game when there's dwindling time and you need a shot. Those things aren't necessarily going to phase them. So I think, the experience that this group brings is going to be huge later in
And
the season.
even for the girls that are here returning for the program, with the absences and injuries from last year, much of these players have fought through so much adversity that are still with the program that it's like this team is not going to be fazed by a lot. And once you can avoid that, you can really reach your highest potential.
Yeah. I think as tough as it was, I think last year was almost a blessing in disguise for this team because, yeah, so many people got minutes that wouldn't have gotten minutes. And Campbell's talked about he learned a lot through that process. So I think the coaching staff grew too. So it's one of those things that I think you're going to see a lot of the fruits of that this season. Yeah. Well, let's move over to the center and forward position. We've kind of talked about it a little bit, but Sedona Prince, she's going to be the leader of that group. She was an All Big 12 honoree last season after missing 12 conference games. I mean, that just speaks to how good she is and just how much she means to a team when she is and isn't on the floor. She averaged nearly a double-double. She was granted a medical redshirt. That's why she was able to return. She said it was a no-brainer to come back to TCU for this medical redshirt season. And so with Aaliyah Roberson coming back and then in the portal, picked up Natalie Mazurek from South Dakota and Desaiah Merrill from Georgia State. Having that depth, Campbell said Sedona's not gonna have to play the entire game, and that might help with some of these injury concerns and things like that, because she's had a fair amount of injuries in her career. So I love seeing all this depth. But I love seeing that, you still have Aaliyah Roberson, probably gonna be someone that's gonna come in quite a bit. And like the guards, she can shoot 35% from three. That is gonna help spread the floor so much. And she grew so much last year with Sedona out. And then you bring in these two transfers who, yes, they're coming from South Dakota and Georgia State, but they're still bringing a ton of experience. And that's just something I don't think you can't buy experience. You can't replace that. And I think that's gonna be really important for this group.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much nailed everything. The only thing I want to add on really to the center position is Sedona Prince is 6'7". There are, I believe it's three other players in all of women's college basketball who are the same height or taller than her. Like, her height cannot be understated for what it is. Like, and I talked about it with the guards, is she is a legitimate force for rebounds. And if you allow her to not play 40 minutes and she can now fight harder for boards and throw her body around a little bit because she's not trying to conserve energy or worried about having to play 40 minutes. Like, she could, I could probably guarantee she's averaging a double double again every game this season. And I think she's probably going to end up leading the conference in rebounds and probably top 10 in the nation in rebounds because she doesn't have to do everything. And with the offense of a pick and roll, like Sedona, what do you got to stop Sedona? Well, then you got Haley Van Lith outside. Like, Sedona could really be one of the higher scorers on this team just because of how deep the guard position is. And she can shoot the ball exceptionally well.
Yeah. Well, that was something else Campbell talked about. It was just her versatility, which is kind of what you're talking about, and that she has a chance to be one of the best centers, not just in the conference, but in the country. And if that kind of comes to be, that just opens the door for everybody else on this team, the guards and the other centers and forwards. Let's chat a little bit about the preseason honors from the Big 12. So TCU was picked fourth in the coaches poll. Kansas State, Iowa State, and Baylor were 1, 2, and 3. Utah was the highest newcomer at 6. And then TCU did receive 30 top 25 votes. So they are getting noticed nationally. What Campbell is doing, who he's brought in, people are noticing that. And I think that's really important because if the spotlight's on you and you do something with it, you have a chance to really snowball and do something. The only individual award that TCU received was Haley Van Lith as co-newcomer of the year, which not really a surprise to see her there. Let's talk a little HVL here. We've talked a little bit about her, but let's dive more into her. Everybody knows she was an Olympic bronze medalist over the summer in 3-versus-3 basketball. And that really translates to 5-on-5 in those pick and roll type situations, which again is what Campbell loves to run. She has really good speed, vision, she can shoot from all over. And Campbell really talked about her competitive spirit and that she's a seasoned veteran. And those are some of the things that she brings to this team. Tell me what your thoughts on HVL.
Yeah, I mean, one, I don't think it can be understated enough how massive it is to get a talent like HVL for the program for what it does with recruiting, getting other players out of the portal, like, let alone even if, you know, she doesn't have the best season because she doesn't have to because of all the talent, like, being able to get a big name like that is massive for Mark Campbell and the program. We've now seen TCU in the running for top 10 players in the country for recruiting and never seen TCU women's basketball in the running like that. And it's the Haley Van Lith effect, right? Like, if you can, you know, coerce someone of her talent and marketability size to come to your program, then you have a legit program running. And she talked about that. She talked about how she liked the pick and roll system. Like, she really, really has bought into the program and the culture that TCU has. And I think, you know, you've watched clips from practice and everything. Like, she is really enjoying it and having fun. Like, she's not, like, she's treating it like, hey, it's national championship. Like, let's go win this thing. But she is really, really out there just having fun and bringing a lot more energy to this team that hasn't really been seen. And I think besides of how good she is at the actual sport itself, you know, like, that is where her biggest ability and asset is she's gonna be that, you know, she's gonna be the vocal leader because she's done it all. She ran the one for LSU. Like, she's been there, done that. And I think, I don't want to say TCU goes as far as she takes them, but it's more like, if there's anyone that's going to be able to take TC to that next level, it's going to be Haley Van Lith.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because she's got Final Four experience, which there are Agnes and Madison were on teams that made it to the national championship. They didn't play a ton. So Haley Van Lith is the one on the team, kind of like you're saying, with that experience that a lot of these girls just don't know at that high elite level. And yeah, so that's going to be really important. And I think you're right. Even if she's not the highest scorer, her impact's going to be felt in so many other ways. Yeah. Anything else on HVL before we move on to the non-conference slate?
I think the combination of her and Madison Connor is going to be really, really fun to watch. Because they're both super competitive, and I think you're going to see them kind of push each other more, especially on the court. I think you'll see Madison start driving a little bit more too, coming from the HVL classes that she's been in. But I really just think that, you know, I think it's just HVL. Her impact will be felt whenever we, you know, you talk to players after games and you hear them communicate on the court. That is where her impact will mainly be felt.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and you're right. She exudes kind of just a happiness to her that just feeds off of everybody else. Yeah, so it'll be a lot of fun to watch that. Let's talk a little bit about the non-conference slate that this team has in front of them. A good chunk of these games are going to be against, using football terms, Group of Five or FCS opponents. They're pretty much at home almost all of November and December. Their first road trip is the Cayman Island Classic over Thanksgiving. It's technically a neutral site. They're going to play Notre Dame and South Florida. And I think these are going to be two really good tests for them. Notre Dame is picked to win the ACC this year. They finished fourth during the season last year, won the tournament, and they reached the Sweet 16. And South Florida is picked to win the American Athletic this year. And they lost in their conference tournament as a five seed last year. So I really like this kind of neutral site pairing for this team because I think it gives them a good kind of benchmark. About halfway through non-conference.
Yeah, I'm really excited to looking forward to this one. Especially because I know we're gonna talk about it here in a bit and you'll bring it up. But there is a game that will be happening around 2 weeks before that series and the game, and that we'll learn a little bit more about who this TCU program actually is. But regardless of whatever happens in that game, this will be the real first test that they'll have post North Carolina State, that it's like you can kind of see what they took from that game to be able to be worked on against other elite opponents. So I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most about this series.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there. So like I mentioned, this is the first road trip, but the first true road game is December 21 at UCF. Their conference opener is their first road game. That is absolutely wild. Sometimes that's just the way things work with these non-conference, especially when you play a lot of kind of these group of five smaller schools. But in some ways that's good, in some ways that's bad too, because then you get to conference play and you've not played in any environment except for home. So I'm not sure I'm in love with that. I don't know how much control, Campbell really had on that, but I'm not sure I'm in love with that part of their non-conference.
Okay, so basketball is one of those weird ones where I don't think playing too many big road games really matters because all of March Madness is mostly neutral site. So,
True,
like,
true.
there's not really much of a big test besides a little bit of conference play. And most of those road tests will come against, like, Baylor. And Iowa State will have a good home crowd. Like, but I do think it's objectively hilarious that TCU doesn't have a road test till then, considering they're playing North Carolina State and South Carolina. And I know technically it's not a home game, but it's basically a home game. Like it is, I don't know how Mark Campbell was able to work that one out, but kudos to him for it.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm with you. That's a good point though, that a lot of this stuff is neutral in the tournament. But yeah, it's just very interesting how that kind of can work out in the non-conference. Well, we've kind of been alluding to it here, but they do have two really marquee non-conference matchups against North Carolina State and South Carolina. So both of these teams, Final Four teams from last year, South Carolina is the defending national champion. So these are the cream of the crop from last year. Both teams return a lot of talent. And so these are the games, kind of like you mentioned earlier, where you see, okay, here's where we're at. Now, can we make the adjustments against another good team and fix what went wrong, and get better? The NC State game is going to be the first of those two marquee games on November 17. We're going to talk about that a little bit now since we won't have another podcast before that game. But November 17, I believe, is a Sunday. NC State, like I said, Final Four last year, and they tied for second in the ACC. They return a good chunk of their team, but their starting center from last year is now playing overseas. They have Lizzie Williamson and Mallory Collier, who are expected to fill that spot. Both played under 10 minutes per game last season, so not a ton of experience, but they're not completely green. I kind of see that as a potential advantage for TCU just from a pure experience standpoint. And kind of like we talked about, Sedona's just so versatile and so big, not a lot of people are her size. I kind of see this as a potential advantage spot for TCU, potential.
No, yeah, absolutely. And we've talked on that point a lot throughout the show already, is the experience and the veterans that are on this program. That, I mean, Sedona Prince was basically the front runner for all of the change that you see in women's college basketball today. A lot of people don't really know that part because it was so long ago. But yeah, like she's been around for so long that she's gonna be able to know what's going on in and out. It's like it's a huge step up for a TCU team that is probably playing. I would say that this is still the best team that they've played, even under Mark Campbell last year, because I can't think there was a better team that they played. Like, this is a true, I think that that's where the experience is going to be really, really good, because we haven't seen Mark Campbell coach in a game like this against other top coaching talent. So I think whenever your players will be able to take that little bit of step up and have that edge, it's a lot more of an advantage.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then if you look at the guards for NC State, they have several players who are returning who can score and make plays. Isaiah James returns as their leading scorer, almost 17 points a game. She had 31 double-digit scoring games last season. So almost consistently getting you at least 10 points. Sanaya Rivers earned all ACC first team and all defensive team honors. And then Zoe Brooks was an all ACC freshman last season, averaging 9 points, nearly 4 boards and 3.5 assists. So they have a lot of guard talent as well. And so again, I think the guards is where you're going to really see where things can start to separate a little bit. From experience level, that might be a little bit more even, I think. Which I think is great. Kind of like we talked about, that is the test that this group needs to see where they're at, see what adjustments they need to make. But, because then they'll go to Notre Dame. Excuse me, they'll play Notre Dame a week or two later. So I think this is going to be a really good group of guards for them to go up against.
Yeah, and I didn't mention it when we talked about Haley Van Lith earlier because I wanted to save it for this point is, but Haley Van Lith is a plus defender as well. So being able to have her to be able to match up against another team's one will be exceptional to be able to allow a little bit less pressure on the rest of the TCU defense. I mean, Madison Connor can play a little bit of defense, but like a lot of the guards are going to be able to outscore. And I think that's kind of where you're going to see them struggle against teams like this who a bunch of the guards at the top level, like NC State and South Carolina, when we talk about them closer, a lot of their guards are really, really exceptional both ways, offense and defense. So I think that's kind of where you're going to see a little bit of a difference between the teams, but I am excited to watch the entire guard matchup itself. And I think this is going to be a Sedona Prince masterclass in this game just because she has the edge up there. But again, that also kind of depends because if TCU is running a four guard setup and you're leaving Sedona Prince alone under the paint, like it's still going to be a tougher challenge for her. So I think this is where you'll see it'll be one of those where I don't think the result is really going to matter as much as being able to watch the process and see what is working and what isn't working.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be a huge learning game for them, regardless of the outcome. Now, of course, you want to win. You want to win every game, right? But I think this game they're going to learn a ton from it. And you mentioned Haley Van Lith being a plus defender. Donovan Hunter was an all defensive player from the Pac-12 as a freshman last year. So I don't know how much she's going to play, but just to have someone like that coming off your bench, or maybe she starts, I don't know at this point, but assuming she's coming off bench, to have someone like that, that's huge. Like you said, there's going to be teams where it's a lot of scoring. You got to have those guards who can defend to kind of separate. So to have someone like that kind of coming off the bench, I think is going to be really big too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited for this game. I will say I think the mood is kind of like it. This is the NC State game is a completely different game than the South Carolina game, right? Because of how early the South Carolina game is, I think that's a, or the NC State game is, that makes it kind of the different mentality, at least how we see it, is hey, this is a learning game. Let's see where we're at. Let's see what we really need to work on when we get to this upper talent level. And then it's like, hey, after that point, you've had 3 weeks. It's South Carolina. Let's put it all together and really see what this team could be fully capable of.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like you said, December 8th, they'll play South Carolina. That one's at Dickies Arena here in Fort Worth. So, not a home game, but pack
The
the
home
place.
game.
It can be a home game.
Yeah.
So, they're not leaving Fort Worth. We'll talk more in depth about this once we get closer, but kind of my initial thoughts are with you. This is NC State's gonna be a fantastic test. South Carolina, it doesn't matter how much talent they lost to the WNBA or graduation, whatever. Dawn Staley always has this team at the top of their talent. I mean, they went undefeated. That's almost impossible to do in a basketball season because there's so many games, so many way opportunities to slip up, little things like that. So I am so excited for this game because this is just. It's going to just show us so much about this team.
Yeah, and I think that's just the beauty in it, is it's like you got two big games and they're both completely different. Like, and I do think it's really good that it's technically not a home game for TCU, but it's close enough that it should be pretty purple. So I'm very, very excited for that game.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, I don't know how Campbell got both of these games here in Fort Worth, but all the props in the world to him to do that, because this is massive, even just for TCU athletics as a whole, to be able to say, hey, we've got a defending national champ coming here. That's a huge deal. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, just to have two teams that consistently are in the Elite Eight, Final Four, competing for a national champion, and one of them you're actually hosting at home, and the other one is basically at home because it's 5 minutes away. Like, that is, again, I talked about it with the impact of Haley Van Lith and for recruiting and other transfers. Like, TCU women's basketball is now like kind of gonna be a name. Like, it could be a name associated with women's basketball when you think of it because of what the program has been able to achieve so far this year, and they haven't even played a game yet. Like, it is, the sky is the limit for this team as far as expectations.
And that's exactly kind of what Campbell said at Media Days, was there's not really limits to what this team can do. They just have to go out and do it. That's always the tricky thing. Some things are easier said than done, but just looking at this team and what they've got, I have a lot of confidence that they're going to achieve a lot this season. And last season was a lot of firsts, 13 and 0 start, reset the record for threes in the season, all these things. And can this team do that? Sure, because you have a good chunk of those players returning, plus all this new talent. But that's not my expectation necessarily. That I wouldn't be shocked if they drop one of these two games in the non-con. But you're going into conference better prepared, so then you're potentially battling for the conference title during the regular season. So for me, I think if we talk about expectations, my expectation is compete for the Big 12 title during the regular season, because I think this team can do that. It just might not be coming off a 13 and 0 start and all these program firsts, which is totally fine.
I think that's the thing too, is like, I really think a lot of it with, even TCU not receiving votes and TCU being fourth in the preseason poll, was like, a lot of it is question marks on how well this team's actually going to come out and play together. Because, the Nick and Davis talked about it in the men's basketball podcast, and Nolan and I talked about it in the football podcast for the offensive line, is in the age and day with portal and all the players that come in and out, and you're in a sport that requires seamless transition and being able to be cohesive as a group. Like, it's very hard to actually know how well they'll play together on game day. Everyone can play together well in practice, but it becomes how well are they going to be able to do it on game day. So I think even if TCU is to get off to a slow start, because not saying that they're going to drop one of their, four games against prior or three games prior to North Carolina State, but I think if they start to look sluggish out the gate, whatever, like, that is perfectly okay, because I think there's going to be growing pains when you have this many new faces coming in, and are going to be seeing spots. Like, you're going to see a little bit of hiccups, and I think that's okay. But I really, really can't wait to see what, one, the team looks like as a whole completely playing, but two is how packed, Skolmeyer is, because I think this is the first time that I've seen the TCU fan base more excited for women's basketball than I have men's basketball. So I think it'll be really, really exciting to see what Skolmeyer looks like whenever they're playing, especially against North Carolina State.
No, and then once you get into conference, you got teams like Baylor and Iowa State who are constantly in the tournament. So there's opportunities to pack Skolmeyer Arena and really support this team. And I think, I mean, the hype, the excitement is there now, but I think by the time conference goes around, it'll have built up even more. And so it's kind of they'll have earned that too as well. Absolutely.
And I do think on paper, I do think on paper TCU is the most talented team in the Big 12. I think it'll just, a lot of it will be their cohesiveness. Like, Kansas State and Iowa State are both very talented teams, and Baylor too, but a lot of it, they've been playing together for a while, so that's what makes them have a slight edge. But I still think TCU is the most talented team on paper in the conference.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so let's kind of wrap this up, just kind of taking a quick peek ahead. So the first 2 weeks of games, like we mentioned, all going to be at home. Season opener's November 5 with Houston Christian. They went 6-23 last season, didn't make the Southland Conference tournament. Not a game overly concerned about, but kind of like you said, things might not be clicking right away. I expect them to win this game. I expect them to win their first three. they might not be super dominant, but I think they'll work out those kinks. So that's November 5th, November 10th, they play New Orleans, went 11-19 last season. November 13 is Texas State. They went 14-18 last season. And then November 17 is NC State, the Final Four participant. So I do like the first three games are kind of just an opportunity for them to get their feet under them and work out those kinks. And then you get to hit the ground running with a really, really good team.
Yeah, I think the non-conference is great for what they have. You're not gonna have. I would have liked to see maybe a slightly better team, kind of, a little bit before NC State. Just like, maybe like a. I don't even know. Maybe someone a little bit better, just because you are going to, HCU, New Orleans, Texas State, NC State. By the way, it's like it's a little bit of a massive jump up that. Would have liked to see a slightly tougher test that it's like, all right, kind of work your way up to that, because I do think it's a big jump. But, like Mark Campbell said, to be the best, you got to beat the best. So, you're going to take it when you get it.
So I'm really excited for this season. Like you said, I think there's a more excitement for the women's basketball right now than men's, which is crazy to think about. Hasn't really been that way since I was a student there. Because they were coming off a run of NCAA tournament appearances. So I think this is a really exciting time for women's basketball, and I'm excited to see kind of how things go.
Yeah. The other thing too, that NC State game is the ESPN primetime game on that Sunday. So it will be a national game at 2 o'clock. So a lot more eyes on it. So be
Yeah.
exciting.
So Pac Schollmeyer. Show up and give this team the support that I think they're gonna earn. Well, I think that's all we got for this week, unless you have anything else, JD.
No, I'm really excited. We've got 2 more weeks till season kicks off.
So, yep, it's gonna get rolling here pretty quick. Well, for JD Andrus, I'm Tori Couch. Thank you for listening to Killer Frogs NSI Splash Pad podcast. Until next time, have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, guys.